Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, now down at the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. We're going to start a service. Today is September the 29th day of 2029. Our track, and I say today, came from Mount Zion at the 11th hour, track 8, by the Beach of Hollis. Entitled, that's the name of the tribe. Now, John 11th hour, to start with our first page. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Yahushua's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness there go forth as the brightness, and the plan of the teaching of the plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahushua. Hebrews 10. 19 and 20 of the New and Living Way thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, that the mouth of the Yahushua shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Yahweh the Father, and a royal diadem in the hand of the Son, Yahushua, Isaiah 62:1-3. Wonder of the divine creation of the exceeding precious promise that the Yahushua, Son of Yahweh, will continue speaking unto her until she become a great and powerful and resplendent light in all the world and a crown of glory in the hand of the Father Yahweh. In the congregation is seen standing with the Lamb on the Mount Zion. Revelation, for the revelation of the Yahushua, the Messiah, that the Yahweh the Father gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, Revelation 1:1. And for this affirmation that the prophetic events that the John was privileged to record all come to pass, not before, but shortly after the receiving of the revelation of them, are showed that the prophecies of the revelation were to be fulfilled concerning during the New Testament period. And I left the Lord Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from the heaven as the voice of many waters, and the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of the harpers harping with their harps, and they sang as it were a new sound, before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man should learn that song but the 144,000 that were redeemed from the earth and Revelation 14:1-3, earth and prophecy, the geographical location for the earth and prophecy is the United States. Far unto this prophetic event, the standing of the 144,000 upon the Mount Zion, a door was opened into heaven, and the first voice which I heard, says John, was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which says, come up hither, and I will show you the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in the heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, and the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting close, and their white raiment, and they had on their heads, crowns of gold, and before the throne, there was a sea of the grass, like unto the crystal, and in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, the four beasts full of the eyes of the four and the eye. Revelation 4, 1 to 4, and verse 6. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odors that are the prayers of the saints. And I beheld and I heard the voices of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, who received power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Revelation 5:8, 11, and 12. For the Lamb standing at first before the throne in heaven stands later, 644,000 on the Mount of Zion upon the earth. Though the elders and the beasts round about the throne remain in the heaven. So correctly to understand this prophetic event in its entirety, we must carefully differentiate the part which takes place in the heaven from the part which takes place on the earth. For the seven lamps, Revelation 4, 5, being part of the sanctuary fixture, gives conclusive evidence that the heavenly throne scene occurs in the sanctuary, whereas the subsequent sign scene takes place upon the Mount Zion, the king's earthly palace grounds, not upon the Mount Moriah, the sanctuary ground, where it would necessarily have to take place for it to denote that the event occurs in the sanctuary. These scenes, therefore, are of the two different events and the two different locations. For the sitting of the throne in the heaven and the standing of the redeemed with the Lamb on the earth, while the activities embraced in the throne scene are still in the progress. Moreover, the statement, "I will show these things that must be hereafter," places the events in the apostolic period. Let's read this again. Moreover, the statement, "I will show these things which must be hereafter," places the events in the apostolic period, and the statement stood as a lamb, as it had been slain, bleeding, and the sinners that have faced them in the probationary time. Then from a comparison of the Daniel 7, 9, 10, and 13, with the Revelation 4, 2, and 5, 1, and 11, already quoted, for the fact is clear that both visions are of the same event, that is the judgment of the living, and the judgment of the dead is first, from 1844 to 2002, and the judgment of the living is second, starting in 2002, at the permutation. The one reveals it occurring in the period of the nondescript beast, second stage, after its horn, which had the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things, as blasphemed after the reign of the ecclesiastical Rome, and before the beast was slain, and his body given unto the burning flame, Daniel 7:11, before the Rome's destruction. And the other vision revealed it taking place sometime in the Christian period and within the probationary time. Daniel saw thrones cast down, and the Ancient of the Day, the judge, sits, showing that neither he nor the sons were there beforehand, evidently on the rest of the sons, seats set the 24 elders, and finally he saw the Son of Man, Yahshua, as the advocate brought before the Ancient of the Days. Accordingly, both Daniel and John saw the judgment sit and the books open. And as John saw the 144,000 standing on the Mount Zion with the Lamb after the judgment was set and before it was closed, the event consequently comes neither before nor after the judgment, but during the judgment. And now remember that John's vision of the Lamb standing on the Mount Zion, Revelation 14:1, reveals Yahshua as a Savior, whereas his vision of the Lamb of the tribe of Judah standing before the judgment reveals him as a king. Accordingly, they show that while he is in the Savior, he is at the same time the King of Kings. It's now been clear as to when the 144,000 emerged, for the increased interest follows as unto whom they are, seeing that they are followers of the Lamb. Also sons of the Jacob, they are therefore Israelites indeed, not Gentiles. Whosoever has been converted into the typical apostolic faith, accepting the Yahshua as his personal Savior, has had an experience that has completely overthrown and revolutionized his former plans and hopes for his entire way of the life. He has renounced the world and all of his pleasures of sin for a season, Hebrews 11:25, and has become a new creature under Yahshua, born again, heir of the kingdom according unto the promise. This is what the Yahshua meant when he declared unto Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And Paul, having this experience in mind, said, "If you be the Yahshua, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Galatians 3:29. Regardless, therefore, whether one be Jew or Gentile, he can have no part in the kingdom of the Yahshua save through the second birth, by which he becomes one of the seed of the Abraham. For this spiritual transformation, nevertheless, does not fix anyone's racial identity and tribal lineage. It cannot, in other words, make one Judahite if he is not descended of the Judah, or make him Ephraimite if he is not descended of the Ephraim. Consequently, 144,000 being the sons of Jacob cannot be of the Gentile nation. They therefore, first of all, are lineal descendants of Jacob, though not necessarily of the present identifiable Jewish stock. For the 10 tribes, the kingdom of Israel were carried away in 721 B.C. and scattered throughout the cities of the Medes and Assyria, 2 Kings 17:6, and so completely submerged in the sea of the life of the surrounding nations and assimilated that they were utterly lost sight of racially unto the human reckoning. Similarly, as the two tribes, the kingdom of Judah and the south, were carried away into the Babylon was only a few returning unto Jerusalem, about 50,000, after the 70 years of their captivity was accomplished, and multitude also of them lost their identity. Then also the earlier apostolic congregation was made up of the Jews only, of the tribe of Judah. That's when they were called Jews. The apostles, the 120 in the upper room, Acts 1:15, and the 3,000 who were converted on the day of the Pentecost, Acts 2:41, were all Jews, as were indeed virtually all those who were added daily for the first 3.5 years after the crucifixion. Daniel 9:26-27, Acts 2:47, and even after this period was over and the apostles were commissioned to take the gospel, parentheses, the teaching of the plan of salvation of the brother everlasting covenant of Yahshua of the new and living way of Hebrews 10:19-20, and Acts 13:46. Many more Jews became antitypical apostolics, and subsequently as antitypical apostolics rather than as of the Judean family were scattered among the nation. Clearly, therefore, in each instance, most of the sons of Jacob lost their racial distinctiveness as the Yahshua son of Yahweh, however, has ever kept his genealogy of all nations, especially of the sons of Jacob. He will, as he has promised, make mention of Rahab and Babylon unto them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there, and of the sign of Shabbat said, this man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her, for the Yahshua son of Yahweh shall count when he rideth up the people, as this man was born there, at Selah. Psalms 87:46. Thus, just as obvious as strange is the fact that no one today, only there, recognized Jew of the tribe of Judah, can vouch for his ancestors, with the result that the 144,000 can be gathered from almost every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, and yet be of the sons of Jacob. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the word of the prophecy in this connection, that the Yeshua, son of Yahweh, shall set his hand again a second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people that shall be left, that were left from the Assyria and from the Egypt and from the Petros and from the Cush and from the Elam and from Shinar and from the Hamath and from the islands of the sea, and he shall set up an ensign for the nation and shall assemble the outcasts of the Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua son of Yahweh shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of the Egypt, and you shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of the Israel. Isaiah 11:12, 27:12. Since therefore history, logic, and scripture combine their evidences for the proving unconditionally that the Yahshua son of Yahweh has preserved the genealogy of the chosen branch of the human race forward from the Adam unto the Noah, Matthew 1:1-17, and backwards from the Yahshua unto the Adam, Luke 3:23-38, he must then, for a consistent reason, also have preserved the identity of the elect today, and this we see is precisely what he has done in his designating the lineage of the 144,000 as of all the tribes of the children of Israel, Revelation 7:4, And though we know not what we are and cannot ever of ourselves tell, for the one who knows all about us, even unto the last hair of his head, knows our precise ancestry, although those of us who are to be gathered from the seed of Jacob are, says the prophet, as the sand of the sea. Whereas, comparatively speaking, the identifiable Jewish race of today is but a handful to the nation, and therefore cannot today be the ones under whom apply the terms Israel, Ephraim, and Joseph. That's our next step title. Going back for a moment to the historical approach and to our subject, we recall that after the Solomon's death, the Israelite nation, the 12 tribes, were divided into the two separate kingdoms, 1 Kings 11, 11, 12, 12, 19, and 27, for the 10-tribe kingdom occupying the northern part of the promised land was called Israel, also Ephraim, and occasionally the house of Joseph. Israel, because of its majority of the tribes, Ephraim, Isaiah 11, 13, because his king came from Ephraim and Joseph, Ezekiel 37, 16, because he was the father of Ephraim. But the two tribe kingdom, Judah and Benjamin, occupying the southern portion, was called Judah because his kings were of the tribe of Judah, and therefore his descendants are called Jews. The term Israel accordingly also applies only unto the 10 tribes. So, when henceforth in these pages the reader comes upon the term Judah, Israel, Ephraim, and Joseph, he will understand precisely who they are designating and will thus, as we proceed, better understand Yahweh's plan for the ingathering of the 12. Let's read that again. Better understand the Yahshua, son of Yahweh's plan for the ingathering of the 12 tribes of the Israel and for the reuniting them and to the one great kingdom. For the kingdom of the heavens of the Yahshua is like unto a great of the mercy seat, that a man turf and sowed in his field, that indeed is the least of all of the seed, but when it is grown, it is the richest among the herbs, it becometh the tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Matthew 13:31-2. Yet the number of the children of the Israel shall be of the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living Yahweh. Isaiah 1:10. Having the assured teachings that then read, rejecting him and crucifying him, the Jewish nation brought upon their heads a doom that the Yahweh pronounced upon them when through his prophet he declared, you are not my people and I will not be your Yahweh. Though at the same time in his great mercy he let the promise be written in the place where it was said unto them, ancient Israel, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ancient Israel, you are the sons of the living Yahweh. See at Romans 9:24-26. So happily the same people, Israel and Judah, who were set aside and scattered, will in that day, our time, be reaccepted and gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall comp out of the land, Hosea 1:11. Having abode many days without a king, their lot from the days of their captivity, and Babylon, even unto this very day, the children of Israel shall afterwards sometime in the future, says the scripture, return and seek the Yahshua, their Savior, and David, their visible, untypical king, and shall fear that they again return and seek the Yahshua, their Savior, and untypical David, as their king, and shall fear the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, and his goodness in the latter days. Hosea 3, 4, and 5. Really, as a David, the king of the ancient, really as a typical David, the king of the ancient Israel, had been dead for the many years when this prophecy was made, and as it has never been fulfilled, he was a type of the David to come, according to it is those who fear the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, and his goodness, the apostolic Israelites in the latter days. Let's do that again. According to it is those who fear the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, and his goodness, as the antiquated apostolic Israelites in the latter days, our time, who shall appoint the head or king, as the antiquated for David. For a complete study of the Hosea 1 and 2, read our chart number 4, the latest news from Mother, on the clear-cut facts and the preceding paragraphs. We see that the children of the Israel dispersed and without a king of these many days are to return, not as Judeans that are called Jews, but as antiquated apostolic believers. For this consolidation of the two ancient kingdoms, Judah and Israel, is set forth in the symbolism of the two joined sticks. This is our next subtitle. For the Son of the Man, says the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, take thee one stick and write upon it for the Judah and for the children of Israel, his companion, and take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, for all the house of Israel, of the 10 tribes, his companion, and join them one to another into the one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of that people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these, say unto them, that said to Yahshua, son of Yahweh, behold, I will take the stick of the Joseph that is in the hand of the Ephraim and the tribes of the Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. And the stick thrown thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and say unto them, thus saith the Yahshua, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountain. Of Israel, one king shall be king unto them all, and there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kings any more at all, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. Really, I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have shame, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Savior, Yahshua. And therefore David, my servant, shall be the king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. For they shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein their fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children. children's children forever, and my servant and his typical David shall be their prince forever. Ezekiel 37:16-25. For this illustrated prophecy scarcely needs to be interpreted, and it is verse itself explanatory. Everybody is showing that the two ancient kingdoms, Judah and Israel, will yet be gathered from among the heathen, from among whom they have long been scattered, and that they will become again one great nation, for a kingdom which shall never be, as a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the 2:44-5. Moreover, says the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, I will make a covenant of peace with them, for it shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. For my tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their Savior, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, do sanctify Israel, the 12 tribes, and my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Ezekiel 37:26-28. Since the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, says that he will multiply them when they again become a kingdom, and that the heathen shall know that I, the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, do sanctify Israel, and since he can neither multiply nor sanctify after the close of the probation, for the two ancient kingdoms must necessarily then be restored and consolidated during the probationary time in this last parabolic of the 12th hour, and during the judgment of the living, and during the harvest time. Our next subtitle, The Times of the Restitution, for the 144,000 being at the first fruits, there must therefore be a second fruit. For where there is a first, there must also be a second. And as the first fruits of the servant of the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, they must subsequently be sent unto all nations for the gathering of the second fruits. Isaiah 66:19-20. The great multitude, Revelation 7:9, that the John saw after the viewing of the ceiling of the 144,000, for a detailed study of this subject, the 144,000 and the great multitude, see our chapter number 1, 311, our extra, Shepherd God, Volume 1. For the fact that in their mouth is found no God, Revelation 14:5. Plainly goes to show us that they are for the proclaiming nothing, only the pure gospel truth, that is the teaching of the Father's salvation, the bread of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, and makes their words as authoritative and as mandatory as the written words of the prophet and of the apostles. Indeed, these first fruits are invested with even greater power and authority, and that they shall be sure defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as a David, and the house of the David shall be as the angel of the Yahweh before them. Let's do that again. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as the David, and the house of the untypical David shall be as the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, and as the angel of the Yahweh before them. Zechariah 12:8. Also in that day, further, says Zechariah, there shall be a fountain open unto the house of the antipodal David, and unto the inhabitants of the antipodal Jerusalem, for sin and for the uncleanness, Zechariah 13:1. For this fountain for the sin and for the uncleanness is finally opened unto the house, as David. Their crowning evidence will be seen that the consolidation of the two kingdoms is an accomplished fact, and that the time has come for the proclamation of the gospel in all of the world. And this shall come to pass in that day, says the Yahshua of the host, Son of Yahweh, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land, Zechariah 13:3. That is, at the time that this gospel, preaching of the fountain of salvation, of the everlasting covenant of the dear and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, proclaiming the kingdom is set up, it will be a congratulation without God. It will be a congregation. Okay, let's read that again. For it will be a congregation without guile, free from all idolatry and false teaching, and there shall be fed by one shepherd, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, the Yahshua, will be their yes, be their savior, and my servant and shepherd David as a prince among them. Ezekiel 34:23-24. When the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, thus takes the reins in his own hands, testimonies of ministry, 300, and again rule the congregation as a theocratic government in the last days, it shall come to pass, as says Yahweh, that the mountain of the Yahshua house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahshua, unto the house of the Yahweh of the Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of the sun shall go forth the law, and the word of the Yahshua from Yahushua. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into the plowshares, and their spears into the pruning hook. Nations shall not lift their sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Isaiah 2:2-4. So with the ushering in of this everlasting kingdom, Daniel 2:44-45, in the days of his king, Yahweh, and the consequent restitution of all things, there shall be on the one hand a great awakening among the nation, scrapping vast stores of the war implements that they have for years been laying up, for they shall seek to go up also and become a subject of the kingdom of the heaven, and to join the armies of the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, allowing him to fight for them, while on the other hand, there shall be the feverish war preparations among those who refuse to awaken, pulling all into a super armament program, for they turn even their farm implements into the weapons of war against the kingdom of the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, for his congregation. Joel 3:9-12, Zechariah 12:3. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually, they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the wealth of the Gentiles of the gold and silver, and that their kings may be brought. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down to the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, as the Zion of the Holy One of Israel, which is Yahshua, as the Holy One. Isaiah 60:11-19. and 14, for the further study on this phase of the study, see, the Third of Rod, Volume 1, page 173 to 181, explaining not the four and other typical example of how the battle is the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, he said, Chronicles 20, 15, 19, 24 to 30. That being far, very far from such high and holy estate, the congregation must be purified. This is our next subtitle. No Christians of any faith can honestly deny the congregation's need of the purification, and as the Yeshua never does anything without the forewarning of his congregation, he is now sending, or sending her, the message of the purification and the order for the giving of a foretaste of the future glory, and as the heaven's clearing call is for the continuation of the Reformation sounding forth among his people, they may have a keen relish for its truth, and they give themselves wholeheartedly into the work of the reform right now, while he is clearly laying before them his plan for the setting up of his kingdom. While he is clearly laying before them his plan for the setting up of the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, Daniel 2:44 and 45, during this 12th prayer by the hour, sitting upon the throne of David, Yahshua himself, having come and taken his seat upon the throne of antitypical David and the antitypical kingdom of David, with the consequent results for the Senate, those who give implicit heed for the call shall have an irresistible desire to come fully into the line and have the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, separate them from the sin and sinners. They alone shall receive the seal of Yahweh, and as the first fruit said, the kingdom 144,000 strong stand with the Lamb on the Mount Zion. Such a state of the holiness for today, just as in the past, caused the dragon to be wrought with the woman, also now to make war with her remnant, Revelation 12:17, with a conflict which is further described in the word. I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth at the time of the seating of the 144,000, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seat of the living Yahweh, and he cried with a loud voice unto the four angels, unto him it is given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, that's the United States location, neither the sea, that's the old world location, nor the trees, that's the ministry, till we have sealed the servants of our Yahweh in their forehead. Revelation 17, 1 to 3. Oh no, Revelation 7, 1 to 3. Here are brought to view two herding about to take place, one by the wind, the other by the angel, and two commands unto the angel, one, that they restrain the winds, that the winds blow not on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree, Revelation 7:1, of the other, that the angels restrain themselves from hurting the earth, sea, and the tree, till the servants of the Yahweh are sealed, Revelation 7:2-3. Since therefore, as soon as the servants of the Yahweh are sealed, both the wind and the angels will begin to hurt, for the question arises as to what the work of the winds and the work of the angels represent, political strife or something else. As the nations have always been at war, this twofold work of the herding could not represent the political strife. And as the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, said, that at the time of the end nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, Matthew 24:7. It is clear that the hurting by the winds, also the hurting by the angels, both of them which are kept back until the 144,000 are sealed, must be figurative of the holding back of the time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation and their 12-1. Accordingly, thou sure the Son of Yahweh, restraining of the four winds, is with us holding back of the image of the beast activity. Revelation 13:15-17, against the saint. All his restraint of the four angels that they heard not is with his holding back of the executing of his vengeance. Isaiah 63:1-4, Jeremiah 51:18, on the sinners who trouble the congregation until after 744,000 is completed. Then a couple of those two hurting during the time of the trouble such as never was. Revelation 7:1-3, therefore reveal the twofold conflict. Wicked men against Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, the blowing of the wind, and Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, against them, for the angels hurting them. Lower the blowing of the wind and of the hurting of the angels after the service of the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, are sealed. Will bring the time of the trouble, yet every one that shall be found written in the book shall be delivered, and there shall be one. On these facts we see that the time of the trouble is held back in order for the safeguarding of the sea and the unemployed for the time of service. Thus say, the very elect we brought down, we worship the image of the beast out of the chill from the truth. Since in the Revelation all the books of the Scriptures lead an end, the Acts of the Apostles, page 585, the seal of the service of the sure servant, Son of the Elder, Revelation 7, must necessarily be found also in the prophecy, and the Ezekiel chapter 9 is envisioned and marked of those who sign cry for all of the abominations that be done in the midst of in the Judah and in Israel, and the slaughter of those who do not thus sigh and cry, and the fact that the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, had at no time taken the sinners from among the righteous in the Judah and in Israel, shows that the prophecy of the purification of the slaughter has never been fulfilled. So, therefore, as a marking to the saying of the sinners, the angel slain is the same as the angels hurting, thus hurting and sin which John saw, and the slaughter and marking which Ezekiel saw, are again identified as one and the same. For this sitting of the services of Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, is the same that was shown unto the Ezekiel in the vision. Testimonies and Ministries, page 445, Testimonies, Volume 5, page 211, and Volume 3, page 267, by Ellen G. White. Although the marking in the slaughter is each of nine include only the congregation of Judah and Israel, for the hurting by the rams and the hurting by the angels, Revelation 7, including all of the world, both the earth, the United States and Palestine, and the sea, the old country of Israel and the Middle East, each of which is indicative of a different locality. For the sea in the realm of the nature of the storehouse, home of the water, is therefore in the realm of the symbols of the birthplace of the nation of the old country. Earth, opposite of the sea, is correspondingly a domain among, away from the old country. It is located under John in the symbol of the two horned beasts coming up, not out of the sea, out of the earth. Revelation 13:11, of the only place where trees naturally grow, and as according to Daniel 4:20-22, trees are figured as the root. Therefore, the tree in this instance represents the ancient man before the house of Ezekiel 9:6, and the fact which reveals that in this period the congregation headquarters are in the two horned beast dominion in the new world, the earth. And the light of the clear cut facts before us, we see that the main object of the sitting are marking of the service of Yahshua, son of Yahweh, is for the cleansing of the congregation from sin and sinners, so that she may be able for the standing strong against the image beast in the time of the trouble. And that when this purifying work is completed, it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remains in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even everyone that is found written among the living in Jerusalem, when the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, shall have washed away the filth of the daughter of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the mixture of the spirit of judgment by the spirit of burning, Isaiah 4:3-4. When this special work of the purification of the putting away of sin among Yahshua, son of Yahweh's people, is accomplished, then the congregation is entering in upon her final conflict. Fair as the moon, pure as the sun, and cheerful as an army with a banner, she is to go forth into all the world conquering and to conquer. Great Congregation 4:25, Proverbs 17:7-25. And the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, will creep upon every dwelling place in the Mount Zion, and upon her ascendance of cloud and smoke by the day, and the shining of a flaming fire by the night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert in the storm, and from the rain, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Yahshua, son of Yahweh. That's Revelation 5:9-11. And thou shalt be called sought out as a city not forsaken, Isaiah 4:5-6, Isaiah 63:12. For the entire congregation acting as one journeying in the perfect union is to be a living, active missionary agency moved and controlled by the Holy Spirit, all that the Father did every time. Congregation member today, if to do, his workers will then see eye to eye, and the arm of the Yahshua, the power of which was seen in the life of the Yahshua, will be revealed. Testimony 5:8-46, Volume 7:33, Volume 9:33. Then it shall come to pass, says the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, that I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, and the Yahweh, Father, whom I shall be sanctified and needed for their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and get you out of all the countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be cleansed from all of your filthiness and from all of your idols, will I cleanse you. For a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and charge you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and fear them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your brother, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Savior. And I will also save you from among all your intended, and I will call for the corn, and it will, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you, and I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and the increase of the field that you shall receive no more reproach of the famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your journeys that were not good. You shall lower yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abomination. Now for your safety, I will say to you, sure, Son of Yahweh, be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, and the day that I shall have cleansed you from all of your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the ways shall be filled, and the heathen that are left bound about you shall know that I, the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, fill the ruined place, and plant that was a desert. For I, the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, have spoken it, and I will do it. Ezekiel 36:23-36. Again, the cleansing of the temple from the world's buyers and sellers. For the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, announced his mission first for the cleansing of the heart from the defilement of the sin, from the earthly desires, the selfish lust, the evil habits that corrupt the soul, the desire of the ages, page 161, and second, to cleanse the entire congregation from sin and sinners, as twice, once in the closing of the John the Baptist proclamation of the kingdom, and in the opening of the teaching of the plan of salvation, the brother everlasting children of the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, which is called the gospel dispensation at the beginning of the Messiah's ministry, and once at the close of his work and at the opening of the apostles' special testimony through the ministries, number 7, page 54, he cleansed the terrible from the unholy practices by which the Jews had desecrated it, John 3:15-16, Matthew 21:12-13. He thereby twice gave warning the type that also in the closing of the apostle and typical apostolic dispensation, he will twice cleanse his congregation, once at the ceiling of the first priest of the 144,000, and again at the ceiling of the second priest, the great multitude, Revelation 7:1-9. Since both of these cleansings moreover took place at the feast of the Passover, and since also all who had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, 2 Chronicles 30:3, Exodus 12:3, and 6 were forbidden to participate in the Passover in the first month, but were permitted to prepare for it and to celebrate it in the second month, Numbers 9:11, 2 Chronicles 30:13, thereby is typified the purification of the congregation in the two sections, thus showing still, again, that there are two gatherings, two scenes, two separations, two companies. First, 144,000, and second, priest of the great multitude, Revelation 7:9. For the further treatment of the two scenes, see our track number one, pre-11th hour extra, and for the inner track of the Passover, see the Shepherd God, volume 2, page 256. There must be, says the Spirit of the prophecy, a cleansing of the institution similar unto the Yahshua's cleansing of the temple of the old. Before it is written that, says the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. There are in our institutions today kinds of actions similar unto those that took place in the temple. Of course, in the Yahshua time, and all heaven is left alone, for the Yahshua Son of Yahweh will work for the purifying of his congregation. I'll tell you in the truth, the Yahshua is about to turn and overturn in the institution called by his name. Just how soon Now this refining process will begin. I cannot say that it will not be long at first. He whose pen is in his hand will pen his temple at a small defilement. He will surely purge his store of presence and responsible position, September 1895. In the parabolical preview of the purification of the congregation, that share declared, for the angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, Matthew 13:49, take away the wicked and leave the good, whereas in the Revelation, addressing his own and Babylon, he says, come out of her, my people, that you be, Revelation 18:4, calling the righteous out and leaving the wicked in, for the former are purified by the wicked being cast out from among them, the latter by their being taken out from among the wicked. Also there are two distinct parables of the talents, Matthew 25:15-30, Luke 19:13-27. Both of which pointedly enter the picture in this present city, and the one are three servants, and the other 10 servants. But the significance of the difference shows that the former has only a local application here in the United States, whereas the latter has a worldwide application all over the world, incidentally showing as though the shepherd God, right in the theory, 85:86, that in the scriptures, number 10 stands for the universality, and number 3 for the Trinity and the congregation. For these unalterable truths of the type and parable, and the word of his testimony, bring us various face to face with the solemn reality that we are come unto the time of the unatypical Passover and cleansing of the temple, and unto the harvest of the world, the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua Son of Yahweh, with the spirit of the Yahshua Son of Yahweh bids us with the offer. Let's do it again. For the spirit of the Yahshua Son of Yahweh bids us with the awful solemnity. Get ready, get ready, get ready, for the fierce anger of the Yahshua Son of Yahweh is soon to come. His wrath is to be poured out unmixed with the mercy, and ye are not ready. Rend the heart and not the garments. Early writing, page 119. Oh, let no one be misled in the second, that after the close of probation or after the second coming of the Yahshua Son of Yahweh, after the sinners in the world have been destroyed, that the Yahshua Son of Yahweh's congregation shall attain unto the exalted standard of the church and unto the high office appointed of the heathen, and be purified appointed of the heaven, and be purified from sin and sinners. On the contrary, in that day, before the sinners in the world have been destroyed, says the Yahshua Son of Yahweh, will I make Yahushua a burden of stone for all people? All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. And that day shall the Yahshua Son of Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Yahushua, and he that is people among them at that day shall be as a David. And the house of the David shall be as the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And that day shall there be upon the bells the horses holiness unto the Yahweh, and the pots in the Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before the altar, yea, every part in Jerusalem. And in Judah shall be holiness unto the Yahshua of the host, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seed, that means a boil, to cook therein, and in that day there shall be no more of the Canaan in the house of Yahshua the host, Zechariah 12, 3, 8, 9, 14, 20, and 21. This being the close of our test study for this hour, we're going to have a part 2 in our next study at Mount Zion to the 11th hour. And let's close now with a song.